Let's read together Song of Solomon, chapters 3 and 4. In these chapters, we have the marriage of Solomon and the Shulamite maiden. In chapter 3, we have the wedding procession. In chapter 4, we have the marriage. And at the beginning of chapter 5, we have the consummation of the marriage. Let's begin by reading the first four verses of chapter 3. By night, on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them when I found the one I love. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. Let's begin our study of these two chapters of Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon chapters 3 and 4, with some background notes. In our talks from the Song of Solomon, we are presenting the traditional view, which holds that this book of Holy Scripture is presenting the true account of the love relationship between King Solomon and a beautiful virgin known as the Shulamite. The Shulamite lived in the north of Israel, near Lebanon. In summary of this traditional two main character or two lover view of the song, we have the historical account of King Solomon's true love for the Shulamite peasant girl. Solomon had observed this beautiful woman while on a trip in the northern territories of his kingdom, maybe during a visit to certain crown properties or vineyards. The Shulamite woman was working nearby in her own family's vineyard when Solomon spied her. She had no idea that she was soon to become a Cinderella. Rather than use his powers as king to abduct the maiden for his harem, Solomon decided to disguise himself as a shepherd and win her heart by slowly building a love relationship with her. The plan worked. Soon Solomon revealed his identity to her, and shortly thereafter the couple was married. King Solomon, of course, spared no expense for the wedding. The marriage procession, with all its splendor, is described at the end of chapter 3. The wedding takes place within chapter 4, and the marriage is consummated at the beginning of chapter 5. Let's move now to our first doctrinal point from Song of Solomon, chapter 3. God approves of courtship and marriage as he intended it. God approves of courtship and marriage as he intended it. We mentioned in our first talk on the Song of Solomon that the main reason God included this book in Holy Scripture was to put his stamp of approval on love and romance, including love talk, within the bounds that he has set up. As a beautiful love relationship between a man and a woman, the Song of Solomon certainly illustrates the love relationship that God has for his people Israel and Christ has for his church. But the main reason for the book is as a God-given manual for human love and romance between a man and a woman. God approves this, and thus the theme of the Song of Solomon is love and marriage as God intended it. Now in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 3, as the courtship continues toward marriage, it seems that the Shulamite has a bad dream about losing Solomon when she marries him and not finding him next to her. In her dream, she goes out about the city seeking him and finally finds him. She then brings him home to her mother's house and will not let him go. In verse 5, again we have the refrain that we had in verse 7 of chapter 2. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. Again, the idea is to let the courtship phase of the relationship develop slowly and naturally. Now in verses 6 through 11 of chapter 3, we have the wedding procession for the coming marriage. Let's read these verses. Who is this coming out of the wilderness, like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? Behold, it is Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his thigh, because of fear in the night. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a carriage. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple. its interior lovingly made by the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. In these verses, we see Solomon being carried on his royal traveling throne along with 60 chosen warriors as part of the pomp and splendor of the procession. They are traveling up from Jerusalem to the bride's home in the north country for the wedding. These verses are quite descriptive of the splendor of the procession. You can imagine these 60 men of the royal guard decked out in their dress uniforms for the occasion. This royal guard would also be used for protection as the king and his new queen made their way back to Jerusalem. We see in verse 11 that Solomon was wearing a crown that his mother, Bathsheba, apparently gave him before his official coronation in 1 Kings chapter 1. This was a happy day for the people and for Solomon. The well-governed courtship was culminating in a happy marriage. God approves of courtship and marriage as he intended it. Doctrine point number two. God approves of sex within marriage as he intended it. God approves of sex within marriage as he intended it. Let's continue reading the first six verses of chapter 4, where Solomon speaks to his new bride about her beauty. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 shields, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. This chapter should convince anyone who reads it that the Bible does use figurative language. In fact, if you were to draw a picture of the Shulamite maiden based on the description here using literal language, you would have quite a monstrosity of a female. Hair like a flock of goats, verse 1. Teeth like shorn sheep, verse 2. Temples like slices of pomegranates, verse 3. A neck like the Tower of David hung with shields, verse 4. Breasts like young deer, verse 5. In verses 7 and 8, Solomon urges his bride to put away thoughts of home and give full attention to their wedding night. Verses 7 and 8. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, from the top of Amana, from the top of Senir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. In verses 9 through 11, we have more love talk showing that God approves of sex within marriage. Verses 9 through 11. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Now it's important to note from verse 12 that the Shulamite was a virgin until married. Verse 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. There is no idea here or anywhere else in the Bible that living together before marriage is acceptable, no matter what our secular culture says. But now in verses 13 through 15, we see in figurative language that the wife's garden is fully open to the husband. And in verse 16, the Shulamite invites Solomon to enter her garden, which is now his. Let's read these verses, verses 13 through 16. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrant henna with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits. Verses 13 through 16. Now in the first verse of chapter 5, it doesn't take much insight or knowledge of figurative language to see that the marriage is consummated on the wedding night. Chapter 5, the first part of verse 1. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Beginning of verse 1 of chapter 5. But now what about the end of verse 1 of chapter 5? Eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. Who is speaking here? We believe it is God himself, putting a stamp of approval on the physical aspect of the marriage. God approves of sex within marriage as he intended it. Now what about practical application from Song of Solomon chapters 3 and 4? Practical application number 1. Make sure your wedding is a special occasion. Make sure your wedding is a special occasion. We see from these chapters that the wedding of King Solomon and his Shulamite bride was a very special occasion. They didn't elope or get married in the local courthouse or have a quick private wedding somewhere. No, this event was very special because it was a wedding. A wedding between a man and a woman is a very special and significant event because it emphasizes that marriage, as God ordained it and as God intended it, is very significant and important. To be married in private by a quick trip to the Justice of Peace takes away from the significance of this event. The Lord Jesus put his stamp of approval on public weddings when he attended the wedding at Cana of Galilee in John chapter 2. He even helped make it a very special occasion by making the best wine available. To make sure your wedding is a special occasion does not mean that you have to spend a lot of money and invite every person you can think of. No. But it should be special. Not just a hurry-up affair where a few words are repeated before some minister. These are important and serious vows taken before the Lord and the invited guests. And it's a wonderful opportunity for you to publicly show that you are committed to what God has approved. So make sure that your wedding is special. And practical application number 2. Complement the physical attractiveness of your spouse. Complement the physical attractiveness of your spouse. We've seen in our study of the Song of Solomon thus far that both Solomon and the Shulamite complement each other as to their physical attractiveness, including what they wore. This is good. Now, this is not all a couple should talk about, but to complement the beauty of your spouse and how he or she looks is certainly biblical and important to your relationship. But suppose my spouse is not beautiful, you say. Then change your standards. As they say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Therefore, change your standards so that your spouse is beautiful and complement the physical attractiveness of your spouse.